Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This is Paul Hawksby
and Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We had a bit of a chat about various matters. Some of it's serious, some of it not so serious.
Yes, that's true.
We also
tried to lighten it up a bit later.
We did. We also spoke to the winner of the World Porridge Making Championships.
Yeah, she was good. And also, we spoke to somebody who's tried the brand new running shoes that Kipchoge used.
Yeah, for the sub 2-hour marathon. Mm. And he said they make a massive difference.
Yeah, they sound good.
Quite shocking, really. So here it all is. Good afternoon, Andy.
Yes, good afternoon, Paul. And we can't avoid talking about what happened last night. And a couple of aspects, though, that I thought were interesting. And I thought Clive Tilsley did a great job in his commentary. And we know Clive was at the Kick It Out event that we are, and he's very sensitive to all this. But he did say it was sad. And I thought, well, yeah, it is sad. It's a sad night for football. But as right he said, and I really agree with him, it was also fantastic to see something being done.
Yeah.
Finally, you know, it was actually some hope there that, you know, and to see those yobbos being, I don't know if they were thrown out, they seemed to walk out, didn't they?
Well, they had the look of people that had gone there just to do that and their work was done, so they didn't seem particularly interested in the football.
It was so poor.
Well, that's a very worrying story. It just appeared in the Times, and the man who's written it, Martin Ziegler, is going to be joining us in 10 minutes, so he'll tell us more about that in a few moments' time regarding some of the stewarding at the game last night. But Martin will reveal all shortly on that one.
And the Bulgarian coach, I mean, really, he's got to be banned, isn't he? He's got to be banned for defending it, doing whataboutery, which was so poor. And his attitude, you could see when he was remonstrating with the England players, you just think, oh, come on, mate, really? You know, he was a great player, but he's not a great man. You know, so it's really a sad thing to see, actually.
We were saying, weren't we, that Boris Mihailov, formerly of Reading, the Prime Minister of the country is calling for him to lose his job, so we'll see how that pans out.
We know from going to that event that we have problems too. It's a question of education, really, isn't it? And what happened last night is a start. You know, maybe walking off is the next step. But the interesting with the reaction to the public address announcement, how angry people were.
Yeah.
And that says a lot about them. That says a lot about their attitude, you know.
Well, I think you have to be prepared to admit you have a problem. And for all of the many faults in this country, and we do have a problem with it, I think there is an acceptance that we do have a problem, something we have to deal
with.
That's
where it starts from, isn't it?
But if you're in denial, you've got no chance. If you're constantly denying it's an issue, which, look, there's plenty of very good people in Bulgaria that aren't doing that.
All those people that turned up in what was basically a uniform, and you turn up at football wearing a scarf and balaclava, and you've got things saying no respect, and all the way they were dressed, why were they even allowed in? You know, it's an incredible thing, really.
Well, as again, that kind of feeds into what Martin's about to tell us, actually.
On the actual football itself and the actual competition, something Clive said, he said, I mean, Bulgaria, bottom of the group, they've taken 3 points from 7 games. And he said, oh, they still could be in the playoffs. And how bad do you have to be to be in
to not actually make it through to the next stage?
Competition. This is so
I think San Marino
rubbish.
Could still make the finals.
It's
That's
rubbish,
the way it's panned
it?
Out.
For goodness sake.
Look, we should just talk about the football. It was obviously a much better performance, wasn't it?
Much better. And
they played some lovely stuff at times, but they had the room and the time to play it, as the point was made last night.
It's hard to judge it.
It was a very different performance by Bulgaria than the Czech Republic, who made it a whole lot tougher for England.
Well, a much better team, no question about it. So there you go. In other news, a much lighter story, but a story that we've all been preoccupied by, the Agatha Christie.
You're
saga.
Keeping that going, or you're keeping that alive?
Well, it's in the papers. Mm. This fascinated me. Yesterday, there were 316 Agatha Christie based items listed on eBay yesterday. Can you believe that? 300 T-shirts, phone cases, Christmas cards. Badges. I mean, really. Even a glass, a magnifying glass that said, "Hope your Christmas isn't as dramatic as Colleen versus Vardy." And you think, oh, for good. By the time Christmas comes about, no one's going to remember this story at all. But you're going to get that magnifying glass.
Yeah.
What?
This is going to have a very small window, I think, don't you, before something else comes along.
Of course.
I'm totally with you on that. I wouldn't be buying, I wouldn't be buying Vardy, Rooney items for the Christmas stocking. Definitely not.
There's even a Agatha Christie mug. Yeah. Of course.
Listen, have you ever bought anything that was zeitgeisty? Let's use that word. I'm not a massive fan. But if you've kind of, you thought, oh, yeah, they're going to love that. By Christmas, they don't even know what it's about. Or, you know, that's never really happened before, is it? I don't think there's going to be a rich seam of stuff from the listeners, but... Maybe you've bought something. Maybe you've already bought something for someone in the family, which is related to this spat.
It's ridiculous. And looking at Cristiano Ronaldo...
Do you think someone's writing the book? Someone is out there, a showbiz reporter somewhere has started to cobble together, has probably got a book deal. Wags Up War, the Vardy Rooney story. That would be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
People have been casting the movie. There was some very,
if they're not, they just thought of it. You've just suggested it.
There was some very funny stuff on social media. I don't know who it was. I can't give them a credit, but Dean Gaffney was variously playing either Rebecca Vardy at some points and also playing Jamie in others. So they codded up about half a dozen film posters. And it was very well cast.
Oh, well, yeah, fair enough. Yeah. I was just saying, the Cristiano Ronaldo ad for his new CR7 pants.
Yeah.
I'd love to have been the supplier of the wadding. They must have had a huge budget for it. For goodness sake, nobody looks like that.
Chris Wadding? Do you think that, Gary Wadding?
I'd say some excessive wadding going on
there. Do you think? Yeah.
Well, I don't know. But it's suspicious.
It's a bit like the Beckham pants, isn't it? I mean, like the Beckham pants.
Perhaps they once, give you that look.
Well, once the Beckham pants had their window, and you'd find them then in TK Maxx for sort of 10 quid for three pairs.
Yes.
You would occasionally see, but I mean, who am I to talk? Pretty lardy blokes going up and buying a little three-pack of Beckham pants, thinking, oh, yeah, that'll do for me. I'll look like Peter Andre or possibly even David Beckham once I slip those on. They basically think as soon as you put the pants on, it tightens all your stomach muscles and removes any excess fat. You buy a pair of the Ronaldos, as soon as you basically just pull the elastic and everything just takes shape. You've got this fantastic six-pack.
Nice. I won't be wearing
You'll be buying a pair of those.
No, I won't be
you?
Buying a pair of those, really.
That would be nice, Andy, if you're in the office one day and just above the line of the jeans, did see CR7. Would be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yes, it wouldn't be great.
TK Maxx within a year, I think the old CR7 is quite possible.
I always like it when the tabloids do this, but they feel they need to explain something. And there was a picture of Cara Delevingne, the model.
Wearing, not the plumber.
Not the plumber. Well, I thought if I don't explain, you know, then people might not know who she is. She could be a plumber.
Hello, yeah. Well, I'll get me rods because that's backed up. That's backed up. Are they your drains or are they your neighbours? Just feel free to leave us a review online. I've had problems with my drains for 4 years.
She's very versatile.
All sorts of problems.
Acting, modelling and plumbing.
Two visits from Cara Delevingne, though, with her camera and her rods have completely solved the problem. Thank you, Cara, for all your efforts. It'd be great, wouldn't it? Yeah, we needed a bathroom doing quickly. We couldn't find anybody at a good price. But thanks to Cara Delevingne, she came in, brought in our team of tilers. Beautifully done, Armitage Shanks, and five stars.
I was listening
Checker trade.
You're right. I was listening. I'll come back to Cara Delevingne in a minute. I was listening to Ian Holloway this morning talking about Mark Bowen giving himself the job, and all I could see was you doing that thing of the Tommy
Cooper, Tommy Cooper, turning his way.
Yeah. He, apparently,
when
he
can went... you start, Mark? I can start now, Mark. Oh, that's good. Would you like a nice company car? Yeah, like a Bentley. Oh, you can have a Bentley. Yeah,
could work it? Really well. Anyway, back to Cara Delevingne.
Oh yeah, yeah, quickly.
And she's wearing an outfit with more holes than a block of Swiss cheese.
Yeah.
And so they thought they'd put in a picture of Swiss cheese in case you don't know what Swiss cheese is.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
You're telling us about the showbiz stars that did minor repair work for you as tradespeople this afternoon. No, you really are, strangely. And Sean says, I had a very bad experience when Russell Crowe repointed the rear elevation of my extension. Walked muck right through the house his way out. Never even apologised. Quite low marks on the website we've set up for Hollywood traders. So keep them coming. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TS. H and J. Now, on to Eliud Kipchoge. We're talking about this, weren't we? This fantastic record attempt, the sub 2 hour marathon. And we're surprised to hear that the shoes made such a difference. The incredible £250 Nike shoes.
Yeah, they're causing a lot of problems. A bunch of Adidas athletes are saying, well, it's not fair. We haven't got them. You think, well,
yeah. You're quite keen to get a pair on the old towpath of the Thames.
I'm very, very keen to get some, yeah. I think it's perfect for the amateur runner. It's like golf balls that go sort of, you know, 300 yards when you miss hit them.
But in terms of competitive sport, they're a bit more like the old kind of swimsuits that caused such a problem a while back, aren't they? They're giving them... I mean, look, let's speak to David Bates. He writes for the Times, and he slipped a pair of the Kipchoge trainers on. And can tell us what difference they made. Hi, David.
It's good piece.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Well, they made a massive difference. Wow. I think the point you make is a good one. Is that if you're an amateur runner, then brilliant. You know, it didn't feel like running as I was used to it. In that every step I took was much easier than it otherwise would have been. And I went along a route that I'd done before, and went much faster over that route. About, I think it was about 3.5 minutes faster over about 12 kilometers. And you know, it's easy to see why this helps people. But I guess if you're looking at it from a competitive sport perspective, then if you think that Nike are sort of under accusations of having a stranglehold over athletics, then having a shoe that is, you know, the carbon fiber is patented, and the foam that they use in the rear of the shoe is supplied to them exclusively by a British company. If you think about that, then, you know, that's a sort of good incentive for every distance runner to use Nike shoes, and I don't necessarily think that's a positive thing.
No, but presumably the other shoe companies can break down what Nike are doing. And
the 11 herbs and spices?
Yeah, of course, recreate.
Yeah, I mean... They haven't managed it as yet, and as long as that's the case, then it strikes me as being a bit of an unfair advantage. And then there's the sort of the purist perspective that, like you mentioned with the swimsuits, is should you be getting that much assistance from a shoe, even if all the athletes have it? Should you be allowed that much assistance? I mean, I know with the laser swimsuit, the Speedo one that was disallowed. It was something like in the 17 months after it was released, there was 130 world records broken.
Yeah.
The results of the marathon haven't been quite as stark as that, but the since the shoe has, you know, when Kipchoge broke the legal record, he knocked more than a minute off the marathon world record, and no one had done that since it had gone under 5 minutes. So I guess it sort of ruins your perspective on the sport almost.
What's it felt like? So you improved your time, as you said, David, but... Did they feel better? Did they feel very comfortable to run in? What else did you notice about them?
Well, they feel very odd to walk in, which is the weird thing, because they have the toe is quite elevated.
Yeah.
And they're extremely light, but they look quite substantial. And when you run, you can feel not quite a spring, but certainly push back from the base of the shoe.
Right.
So that when you start to fatigue, and I'm a sort of a hobby runner at most, my legs often get tired before my lungs do. And I felt like that was mitigated against, because you're getting just a bit more from your shoe every single time. And as I say, you know, with a shoe that clunky or that looks that clunky almost, you'd normally expect it to be a bit heavier, but it's incredibly light. It's certainly the lightest shoe I've ever run in. Or...
Wow.
Yeah, it's interesting there, because you think if you went faster, it would be more tiring lung power-wise, because you'd almost be like sprinting. But I have to ask you, David, one thing in your article, which I read it about four times, I couldn't work this out. You talk about your routine. You say, to do so, I've stuck pretty well to the routine I follow for as long as I've tried to run. Wake up, have strong black coffee, 2 slices of toast, 4 eggs fried immodestly in oil and butter. Is this prior to the run?
Yeah, I mean, it was a few hours before, but yeah.
I thought, Alf Tupper.
4 fried eggs. Yeah, it was Alf Tupper. Are we going to have fish and chip supper and then go and do the marathon?
It's probably a bad habit from when I could afford to eat that many eggs. I did more exercise. But, yeah. But no, that sadly, that is my routine.
Oh, well, fair enough.
Yeah. These are for sale, are they, in your high street at the moment, the Zoom X?
I did because the idea to do this was only on Sunday after the women's marathon record had been broken as well, that we had the idea to do it. So I went down to the Nike shop at Oxford Circus for when it opened and bought a pair. £240 or whatever. Which I guess is extremely expensive, but if you had the money to spend and you'd spent months and months training for a marathon and you thought, you know, I need something to get me over the line or to get me a new personal best, then you might stretch to spending that on a pair of running shoes. But yeah, they're readily available. I think the ones that Kipchoge wore in Vienna when he broke 2 hours, I think they're a more advanced prototype, but the ones you can get in the shops are certainly seem to be the same as the ones that basically everyone was wearing in the Chicago Marathon.
I bet they sell out as well.
They will do. And when we go to Nike Town or other running shops that are available, and we run on the machines, and we're tested, and we're told that certain shoes won't suit us because, you know, we pronate or whatever. Will these shoes suit everybody? There are probably runners out there, people with a running style, that don't suit these shoes, or are they a kind of everyman shoe?
Honestly, I don't know. I didn't want to, you know, the sort of shop assistants can put pressure on you to buy shoes you don't want. I didn't want to get kind of tangled in that.
you need the GTI version, which are £500.
I got out of there quickly enough. They're quite narrow pair of shoes, and I have quite wide feet. So I suspect that if someone had looked at me wearing them, they'd have told me not to get them. Because, as I say, they are quite narrow, and the fabric on the top of the shoe is very thin, so you can almost see your foot coming through it. And I went into another running shop to get a pair of running spikes to compare them with on a track. And the person in that shop told me that because the Vaporflies are a race shoe rather than a kind of training shoe, that you probably will only get about 200 miles out of them. They're not kind of built necessarily. To be durable. I mean, I don't know. As I say, that was just what someone in a shop told me, so I can't sort of... it's not necessarily gospel truth, but...
You must have felt like the bloke who queues all night for the iPhone 11, didn't you? Being like an early... Are you normally a bit of an early adopter? Are you one of these people do you do this generally?
Well, I was a bit getting a bit panicked because obviously I needed them for the feature. And there were, weirdly, a few people already outside the Nike store when I got there for opening. and two people ran in ahead of me, and I thought they...
ran out much quicker, obviously.
Now, have you been for a run since the piece? Will you wear them again?
I think if I were to, you know, if I were to do a marathon or something, then I would consider it. But I think if you were to run in them, if you were to run in them every day, or if you were to run in them when you ran regularly, it would sort of spoil that a bit for you. You know, if you only ever drink expensive coffee and then you go and have a mug of instant, it's not going to be the same. So I don't think I would run in them regularly, but you know, if I was doing a race, I wouldn't rule out using them again. Because as I say, they give you a massive help. It's sort of, I could, it was unavoidable. I can
amazing.
I would like to say that there is sort of an overhyped Nike thing, but it's so much help that I would say they shouldn't.
It worked. Fantastic. Lovely to talk to you, David.
And I hope you get them back on expenses.
Yeah. So I hope they factor that into your word rate for the piece.
So you've got to hope so.
Yeah. Cheers, David. Thanks very much. It's a good way to get a new pair of trainers, of course, isn't it?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby Andy Jacobs here on Talk Sport with assorted matters to discuss in a few moments' time. We chat to the world porridge making champion, a journalist who was pilloried by his Bulgarian counterparts when he asked a couple of awkward questions in the press conference last night. Simon Peach from the Press Association. But before that, we have a little bit of breaking news, and it's very much news that we've been following here on the show.
Breaking news on Talk Sport.
And it's something we alluded to in the first hour of the show about Henrik Larsson. The gestation period of an elephant, of course. Will he? Won't he? Will he go to Southend? Will he become the manager?
I thought it was going to happen.
He's been to more games than Terry Alderton recently. He's there every week. He was watching the matches. The word out of Root Two is he's not. After all that, sadly, it's a blow because. That was a great story, but the club have said in the past week we've been in detailed discussions with Henrik Larsson, Johan Malby and Tommy Johnson to be appointed manager, assistant manager and head of recruitment, and things were all going so well, but within the last hour Tommy Johnson advised Henrik and subsequently me that he decided not to join Henrik and Johan, having today accepted an alternative offer. So apparently it's not happening now.
Well, very disappointing for all concerned.
So all the discussions, because Tommy was there, remember him, Notts County and all that, Henrik Larsson, Johan Malby have decided as a threesome, as a triumvirate, they will not be going down to spend afternoons at Canvey Island and the Kurzel.
It would have been exciting. It would have been good.
Nights out at Tots.
I wonder where they will end up.
Don't think it's there anymore. But I don't know. But there we are. So that's a shame. It's been a bit of a saga. At least he's had some whelks, which he'd never done before, of course. He's had his fill of wings.
Is that breaking news or is that actually...
No, I'm just guessing.
You're making that one up.
I'm thinking is that from all those Celtic fans who would have been spending time in Southend, that's gone, isn't it, now?
Yeah, that's true.
A blow to the gates, really. Yeah. Jackie Chan fitted a bedroom unit for me in Walthamstow, Valentine Road, says Danny in Hearts.
No, he didn't.
I said, where's your tools, Jackie? He said, I just use my kung fu to nail stuff in and stuff like that. And to fair play to him, he did a good job, says Danny. So thank you very much.
That's very good.
Just some of the tradespeople from Hollywood.
I've got some news of the Duke of Kent.
Have you really? Yeah.
Yeah, he was out. He went. He attended the Private View of Soldiery, an exhibition of British Army photographic portraits at the Carlton Club. His favourite, it says, it was soldiers playing tennis. He particularly enjoyed that.
Soldiery. Soldiery is a funny word, isn't it?
Soldiery is a funny word.
You get to use every day, is it really?
A festival to celebrate the knob, a traditional traditional Dorset traditional Dorset biscuit. No, it's here. It's been cancelled.
Well, it's called a Dorset knob, isn't it?
Well, I suppose it is. But yeah. Anyway, the headline is Knobfest is Knobbled.
Okay, I thought it might be. They were looking for a cheap laugh, and so were you, of course.
I wasn't.
Yeah. Well, I've not heard of this phenomenon before, have you? I think I don't like it. I've got to be honest, I don't like it. Elizabeth Dixon, she's from Llandudno, and she says, 30 years ago, I was at Toaster Races with my two-year-old red-headed son in his pushchair. A lady bustled up to us and, ruffling his hair, said, "Ah, red hair for luck." Then off she went. Ooh. You can't be doing that to kids. Well, you can't really be doing it to adults.
No, you can't.
That's why we never take Adrian to Cheltenham. But you couldn't get away with that. No. Now you can't be doing that to people's kids. But apparently it was a thing. It was a thing.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Alice Cooper, the singer and not the plumber.
Yeah. I used to know a girl called Alice Cooper.
Did you?
Yeah. I mean,
that's good.
Yeah, she was a lovely girl, but it was just a bit unfortunate, wasn't it?
Well, I suppose it was, really. Yeah. But he did the...
I've got no more to add. She was very nice. She was very good. Works in telly. She was brilliant, actually.
Oh, but, I see. Yeah, you didn't know from school or anything.
No, I didn't know from school. School was out at that point, Andy, obviously. Was, yeah. I'd left school.
I've written Alice Copper. I don't know why I've written that.
You did what, Andy?
I've written down Alice Copper. Well, I mean Alice Cooper. I don't know Alice
Well,
Copper
that's Alice. Alice Cooper. That's when Alice Cooper became a marshal like Chris Eubank. He goes out, doesn't he, I imagine, and does that thing. You'd be a bit of a shock. Is this your car, sir? He pulls you over to a bloke holding a snake in a pair of leather trousers.
That's right.
He's undercover.
You would be.
It's a
be
lot of mascara running down his face with long hair. And they put him on like he's doing.
Be great, be ridiculous.
Doing a little bit of what could he end up doing? He's doing like kind of surveillance work.
He could be, yeah. But he did the singing equivalent of "Don't You Know Who I Am" the other day because
isn't that "Don't You Want Me, Baby"?
No,
okay.
A shop assistant didn't recognise him.
What, Alice Cooper?
Yeah, so he started singing "School's Out," and he still didn't recognise him because he'd never heard of the song. But
oh, okay, really?
Yeah.
So, why did he have to sing to get what he wanted in his shop?
He was in Brighton.
Okay, that explains it. She's from Burnley.
A young shop helper asked what he was doing in Brighton. Alice said he was on tour, so the shop helper asked if he had anything on Apple Music, and then he got a personal rendition of "School's Out," but the assistant still didn't know who he was. You just think what he'd have heard. It's quite a famous song, that, isn't it? It's the sort of song that's played in a generic style to signal the end of the school year.
But what did he do? Did he come in with the? Did he kind of mime the? Dun 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 dun. Did you unite for that, or did you unite for the chorus?
No, school.
You unite for the riff, don't you?
Yeah, he would have done that. Beat the intro songs. I'm sure he did that bit.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. Just some of the things that may or may not have happened.
Well, Alice Copper.
I wonder.
He's going to change his name
maybe
now.
Maybe it's a bloke called Alice Copper. Maybe on the way back from Brighton, he went to Crawley to watch the snooker and saw Ronnie there steaming out with a verruca plaster on his dinner suit.
It's all come together, this show. This could be good. This could be good for fans like me. We'll talk to Todd about this. Helpers at hand for beleaguered Philadelphia Flyers ice hockey fans. The club has opened a rage room for supporters who want to take out their aggression.
Yeah.
The Flyers will let up to 14 fans per game use sticks, sledgehammers, this sounds very dangerous, baseball bats and golf clubs to bust plates, bowls and bottles. Surely someone's going to get hurt here.
It's not good, is it?
Fans of the NHL team must pay £27 each for the five-minute rage sessions. Is that $30 now?
If they had one in the Matthew Harding upper, though, you'd use it, wouldn't you? I can imagine. There's been times when you get, like, England cricket, if they had one at Lords.
Yeah, they had one at Lords. Yeah. I don't think I'd do it at
football. I think you get more angry about cricket than you do football, and that is
something.
Yeah,
I think I do, actually.
I mean, over the summer, you were just... I'm honest, at times you were just ridiculous.
I needed the Talk Sport rage room.
We should have a Talk Sport rage room. That would be fantastic, yeah. Jimmy Bob White's been in touch. He can follow up on that story we brought you earlier on. I've heard firsthand from Henrik last. And while he was fitting my wardrobes, he's now he wants the Crawley job.
Does he really?
Yeah, he said. Simon Calder sold it so well that's where he wants to work. So thank you very much for that. But a bit more news coming through.
80,000 people have applied for 300 tickets to watch the first episode of Sir David Attenborough's Seven Worlds, One Planet, which is great. But I was thinking it's a bit of a waste of electricity that, really, just giving the 300 tickets out and stopping people wasting their time and. Using up phone lines and all this stuff. All,
Using up phone lines.
It's not ecological, is it?
Well, Possibly not.
A lot of power used there.
I mean, of all the things, we kind of think of the Earth's resources being destroyed, I don't think all 300 people making a phone call will be top of most of my list.
80,000, actually.
When I look at the gunk that's being spewed out the centre of every day in China.
Well, that's very true.
Yeah.
Now, this is another pair of trainers, story about another pair of trainers, which will be very good for the Jerusalem marathon, better than those other ones.
Where are we going with this?
No, because this is a New York design company. It's created pairs of trainers with holy water in the soles. The Jesus shoes are made with 100% frankincense wool, with a golden Jesus on a crucifix as a shoelace charm. They sold out within minutes, despite prices as high as £2,500.
Yeah, I heard, what's the name, talking about this? Mark Lawrenson. He was Mer Farah.
Was he?
He said Mer Farah's going to wear them.
He isn't.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Okay, we'll leave it there. It's Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs.
Well, I did have one other thing.
Did you go? Well,
keep it.
You know, we got a look at the time.
Sorry, John. We've
got the world porridge making champion waiting for us.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. Well, we like to salute the alternative world champions in this country. And we do so now because we've had the World Porridge Making Championships, Andy. The Golden Spurtle has been handed out. And the recipient this year is Lisa Williams. Lisa, very good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Many congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Can you first clear up whether the judges are three bears?
No, there was a Goldilocks as well.
Oh, okay. That'll teach me to be facetious. So really, so you have three bears and a Goldilocks,
Yeah, lovely, the judges. Colin, Lizzie and Neil, they were all chefs.
Oh, okay.
From Scotland. Yeah.
Glen Eagles Hotel, I think.
Nice.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
What are they looking for then, Lisa? And what did you supply then in your porridge?
So there's two parts of the competition. One is the traditional porridge and one is the speciality. And in the traditional, they say they're looking for taste, texture and colour. And in the speciality, they're looking for good taste, innovation, all sorts of things like that.
Right.
So,
did you win both categories?
No, I won the traditional, Golden Spurtle. And Nick Barnard from Rude Health, he won the speciality and he made a pecan and maple porridge with organic cream and maple butter.
Cool, that sounds sensible. I mean, they both sound great. I mean, were you salt or sugar? Which route did you go?
This is the thing. With porridge, it has to be salt.
It has to be salt.
But you still then can put sugar on it.
Okay.
So the salt is part of the cooking. So if you think about mashed potatoes, and when you cook the potatoes, you don't put salt in, they're really bland.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same with porridge. So even if you're going to put a sweet topping on the porridge, when you cook it, you still need to put a bit of salt in because it brings the flavour out.
Oh, I've learned something.
That's a good tip.
Does that apply if you do it in the microwave like I do in the morning?
That includes if you do it in the microwave.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. See, at the competition, I use gas, but at home I use a microwave.
Yeah, because...
So they're both good.
And that doesn't affect it. The microwaving, you would think it would have kind of affect the flavour.
You've got to give it a stir still, but you aren't standing there stirring for 10 minutes, are you?
No, it's not quite as creamy in the microwave, but when you're in a rush in the week and you want something really quick, you can have a really nice bowl of porridge within 4 minutes. So it's fantastic.
Yeah, fair play.
And then when you've got time, you can then do it properly with the spurtle and stir.
Yeah. I've got a spurtle. Our lad bought us one. Just, no expense spent.
Okay.
And our eldest lad. But it's not golden, obviously, because I've not won anything.
No.
But Andy, have you got a spurtle?
I haven't got a spurtle.
The only problem with a spurtle is that it creates washing up, doesn't it? Because you get your spoon, and not only do you stir with your spoon, you serve with your spoon,
but
with
a
spurtle. You're not serving with your spurtle.
It's for
stirring only, Lisa, isn't it?
But then with a wooden spoon, it'd be really hard to serve porridge with a wooden spoon, so... You stir with a wooden spoon, you've still got to wash it up because then you need a ladle for your porridge. And a spurtle's good all round because it gets into the bowls or the corner.
You brought a third utensil
into
like
it. It's a bit like a Harry Potter wand as well, isn't it, really?
It is a bit.
So a spurtle is good.
I saw in the report that rolled oats are banned for some reason. I don't know why that is.
Oh, yeah. Well, rolled oats have been rolled and they've been steamed. So within the competition, you only use oatmeal.
Yeah.
So I use pinhead, but you can use pinhead, coarse, or fine. but not hot, not rolled oats and not jumbo oats.
That's what we call our producer, Pinhead.
We do. Funny enough, yeah. What do we when he's not listening? The so what did yours have? What did they say? What were the judges? What did Goldilocks and the Three Bears say about yours? Kind of, you feel free to blow your own trumpet. You are the world champion, so. What was good about your particular one?
They said it was. It had all come together. It was a nice. They said it was a nice rounded bowl, and it had all come together. Mm. So, which was, you know, I was really pleased. I mean, one of the competitors come from all over, and Izzar Khan was a previous winner about 2 or 3 years ago, and I was surprised to get into the final. And then when I did, Izzar was in the final, and he tasted it, and he's a bit like porridge royalty, so he's a bit like the Jamie Oliver, and he tasted it and he said he liked it.
Ooh.
But for me, that was brilliant.
Your cup final.
That's a great honour.
It was like a cup. I was just really happy with that. So
fantastic. It's not solid gold, the Spurtle, is it?
No, I've got it here actually at the moment. It's a wooden base, and then it's sort of a golden colour metal spot, and then it's got a on the end, because the Spurtle is, for people who don't know, that Spurtle was a kind of long and thin. And then they're tapered at the end, they're wood.
Yeah.
And then on the top, there's kind of like the shape of a thistle, but this one is obviously metal. And then on the top, or the top of the thistle, there's a little purple jewel.
Nice.
But yeah, so there, and you get, apparently you do get lots of different spurtles. Orkney spurtles are flared at the very end, but I like the spurtles that are pointed at the end.
Lovely. Well, look, congratulations,
well done,
Lisa.
Congratulations.
Hopefully we'll be speaking to you next year when you've defended your title. So thanks for joining us.
Anyway, thanks very much.
There we are, Lisa Williams there. We would have got Gary Spurtles.
I was going to say, my mate Gary sells some Gary Spurtles.
For all your Spurtle needs. It's a difficult business to make a lot of money in there, you know, but... now and again, you're a fan of the porridge. It's that porridge weather, isn't it? We're kicking in now.
I have porridge day, all year round.
Every day, all year. You are very much a creature of habit.
I don't have it on the weekend, but Monday to Friday.
What do you have on the weekend then?
Normally just a full English or croissants or something.
Just normally a full English.
Well, yeah, I go for it on the weekend. But in the week, I do love a porridge. You can't beat it, can you?
I love the way that you just switch off for 2 days a week. You're porridge free at the weekend.
There's no point.
Well, of course there is.
I'm
a funny bloke,
day.
Andy. Honestly, one day, the psychologist said, get hold of you. You're a freak of nature.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. Who would have thought, after you mentioned Cara Delevingne being a plumber, that all those other tradespeople would have come out the woodwork? It's interesting, wasn't it? Yeah.
It's good, though.
What are the chances? Well, tomorrow, Guy Garvey from Elbow joins us in the studio.
Good.
Darren Stevens, Kent bowler, will be here as well.
We nearly got the elbow, but got a new contract.
Oh, aye.
Come on.
Nice. It's good, isn't it? Desperate to get the elbow gags in. And that's that. And we'll catch up with you tomorrow. Thanks for downloading us.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.